From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's take a trip. A long trip. A grand voyage. An odyssey. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hey guys, the hot thing right now, aside from the weather, is, of course, the Odyssey. Everybody's talking about it. We may as well, too. Or at least talk about Odyssey-related words, Greek words. You guys are both Greek.
Yes.
And we also have strong opinions about the Odyssey, but we won't bother you with it.
Yeah. Very strong opinions about the Odyssey. I got an argument on Facebook, on my wife's Facebook, too, actually.
Did you? Oh, Ross, you should have restrained yourself.
Well, as long as let me do it. I mean, I was very polite.
But strong.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about some Greek words, some words related to the Odyssey.
Well, first, Fletcher, we're going to talk about words related to an awful intestinal parasite and infection.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Which is also Greek.
It's also the hot thing I think.
Yeah, I think it's finally going down. But I mean, you know, if people eating lettuce were having certain issues with eating the lettuce. Mm-hmm. Cyclosporiasis, which is an infection. Do you know why the word cyclosporiasis even exists? It's a Greek word completely. It's three Greek words in a row.
Yeah.
Do you want me to send you the words so you can look at it while we're talking about this and you can see the three words?
Well, no. I know that it comes from the parasite itself is called cyclospora.
Correct.
And so I assume that is two words, cyclo and spora.
Right. Kyklos in Greek means circle, right? Good.
And the iasis is like an infection from.
Or
a disease. Yeah.
A disease.
So we've got cyclospora and however that turns into iasis.
Right. Circle spore disease is really
Circle
what it is.
Circle spore disease.
Disease. Yes.
Which doesn't, I'm sorry, I'm going to interject here. Doesn't that sound sort of scarier than cyclosporiasis? Something
I think
about
it does.
Circle spore disease.
It does.
I think you're right, Kathy. I think it really does. It sounds like a science fiction horror thing.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, an early, yeah.
I mean,
the
part that sounds scariest is explosive diarrhea, which is the phrase that's been used associated with it this entire time.
But anyway, that's a typically Greek. I mean, it's completely Greek. And Kathy and I were thinking about it. I mean, there's also psoriasis, which is the, you know, skin disease. And again, actually, interestingly enough, the word, the iasis part actually comes from a Greek word, but it tends to really mean more like healing. And so I don't know how
The Greek word means more related to healing.
It's iasis in Greek, which is more like it's a cure, a remedy. But in this case, it kind of transmogrified in English into disease. And, you know, we have, I always thought elephantiasis was the scariest one, you know, the thickening of the
goodness.
Tissues.
Yes.
I think every little kid liked that word, don't you?
I know.
Every little kid knew that word.
I know. I guess so. I don't know.
I got curious about diarrhea. I just looked up because which is also Greek. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact it comes from the word meaning a flowing through.
Yes.
Which is very descriptive.
Yeah.
Yes. Rein means to flow in Greek, and then dia means through. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a very early doctor, Hippocrates, invented that word or coined that word. And now we have a wonderful word, which is really hard to, it's really hard to spell. That was a killer for me when I was a kid, I remember. Not that I spelled diarrhea that often.
Well, it would be worse if we spelled it the British way, wouldn't it? Isn't there an
O with
isn't
the
there an O in there or something?
Yeah.
I hate that. That's like, it's like fetus, all those ones where they add the orchia. And it always makes it look so clinical to me and frightening.
I agree.
Cycle spore disease. Diarrhea, though, when you look at it, it's actually a very pretty looking word, unfortunately, that it doesn't go with a pretty condition. But It is. It's a nice looking word.
Moving along, or running along from this, or flowing at it to a new word here. Kathy had an idea of like basically trying to do a word quiz a week with you. And we're going to start with two Greek words and see if you know them.
Okay.
Okay, Kathy, you want to throw out the... There we go.
Yeah. So I got the... So I got the first word from Kathy. It's like eudaimonia.
Close.
Eudaimonia. I've seen this word.
You pronounced it perfectly.
Thank you. Ross said I was close, but you said perfect, so I'll take perfect. Oh, shoot. No, I can't remember what this is. Eudaimonia? Eudaimonia?
It's Aristotelian. Like, think Aristotle. We know you're
Aristotle.
Aristotle.
Yeah. once upon a time.
Think of like euphonious. First of all, think of the EU. As
does EU mean good? EU?
Yes, very good. Now think
very
of like
you.
Very you.
Now think of a word now that we associate with evil, but in ancient Greek times, it basically was more generic. It was some sort of spirit. It could be good or bad.
Like demon,
word.
Daemon.
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good spirit. Good spirit. Good something
yes,
about being
in a way. Well, a daemon would be like a spirit. It could be like a guardian, and it could, and therefore it's like having a good guardian. So it's producing happiness, a state of well-being.
So that's what eudaimonia is?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Aristotle said it was the highest human good you could achieve.
Yeah.
If you had lived a virtuous life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, eudaimonia would be that. Yeah.
I always had problems with the virtue angle of all this philosophy.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to ask a question that I think will lead us down a whole different path, and I'm not sure that's where we want to go. I was just curious, like, how do you get there? What could somebody do to get there? Do you know?
Well, you'd have to be a good person. It's very, to me, it's sort of Confucian, ultimately, without the ancestors. Don't you think, Ross?
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, basically, there's basically the same basic idea of moderation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of, you know, good behavior, you know, having friends, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Although in Aristotle's time, also having a few slaves, et cetera, too, which I think...
But you were friendly with them, Ross. You were nice.
My problem with Aristotle always was the fact that women had fewer teeth than men. Like, couldn't he just count them? You know what I mean? That was funny.
Surprisingly, people have not done the most obvious thing with women's health for many, many, many centuries.
I know. And they...
I always kind of had a soft spot for Aristotle, I gotta admit.
Well, I was a Plato boy myself, but
yeah, you see, now I was more Aristotelian. I like my categories, damn it.
No, you do, actually. You do. Anyway, let's move on. Let's do the next word next time for Fletcher, how about? Because then let's move on to the Odyssey right now before we run out of time here.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to do words now. We're talking about something that's been in the press a lot, the movie The Odyssey, and then words related to The Odyssey.
May I say, it's not only been in the press a lot, it's also been in, like, the world a lot, like 3,000 years.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we're going to move along here now. We've discussed
the show
a little
bit.
Let's
start with the word Odyssey.
Oh, sure.
What does the word mean, Odyssey? Not the poem.
Uh-huh.
Not the epic, but what does the word Odyssey mean? Obviously, I think you know.
Like a long voyage full of stuff.
Or a long journey.
A long journey,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had an odyssey through, yeah. And when this is interesting to Kathy and me, because we didn't realize how recent it is. When do you think that word came into being used as it is today?
Oh, like not just referring to the story, but as something more general.
Correct.
Oh, interesting.
What the figurative sense of a long journey?
Yeah,
you know, adventure, packed
a
with
long,
adventure.
Even a long mental journey too. You know, he had an odyssey during his, you know, an odyssey of study or something like that. Yeah. When did it come?
Yeah, I have never thought about that. Let's say late 18th century.
You're close.
Okay.
Well, late 1800s
late
would have been 1800s. Better.
Okay.
1889 is the all first right. recorded usage.
Wow.
But that was
really that late.
That got me.
Yeah.
I thought they would be, I really thought it would be from, you know, the Renaissance or something.
I thought Chaucerian. I was going to that era, personally.
But we were both very, very wrong.
Yeah, and it was first recorded in that context as an odyssey, a long journey, in Kidnapped, Robert Louis Stevenson's novel.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, new word, Fletcher, now. This word we'd never really I should have thought of it, but we did. Well, I didn't. I'm not sure, Kath.
I did. No, this one I knew.
Mentor.
Oh, mentor. This I know. I mean, I just saw the movie. So Mentor is a character in The Odyssey. He teaches Telemachus how to fight, right, and that sort of thing.
Right.
So are you asking when did mentor become a more general term for somebody who teaches?
Yes.
Wow. That seems like it would have been much earlier, though. Like maybe even sometime like around Roman times. I'm making this up.
No, you were right. You're waking it up.
Yeah.
1750.
1750. Okay. I should have stuck with late 18th century.
Again, we go back to, though, what Ross was saying before. Both of us were shocked that these were not more widely applied earlier, mm-hmm, or not known be, we should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have, these are like fundamental texts of Western society.
Uh-huh.
All over the place. And you would, I would have thought that these words would have sort of leached into common conversation. And they really are relatively late. I mean, it was really interesting to us on that one.
I also love the fact that mentor, even used as in a generic way, like, you know, he is his mentor, was capitalized for a long time into the mid 19th century. So like, it'd be like, you know, Fletcher is Ross's mentor.
Yes.
Well, but it would keep referring to the character at first.
But no, but when they were using it in a general sense, it was still capitalized.
Yeah, but it was still referring to the character.
I see. It's
right?
Like he is Judas his, or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I see. Yeah,
okay,
I think so.
Yeah,
and then after
legit.
A while of doing it, it just becomes more of a general term and it loses the uppercase letter. It is weird that it started in the 1750s, at least as far as we know.
Yeah. I'm sorry, side note. Do both of you love pronouncing the word Telemachus? I just love that
name.
It's a beautiful, it's very euphonious.
Hey, Ross, good.
Okay, next.
Is Cyclopean.
That's obvious, the origin. You can give us the
origin,
Fletcher. It's
not Cyclopean. You really...
Yeah.
Where'd that come from, Fletcher?
Related to the Cyclops, I guess.
Yep.
What's it mean? What does Cyclops mean? Like the cyclo part of it.
Oh, it's kyklos in Greek, which is circle, right. Cycle or circular. And then ops, like as in optical, it's the round eye.
Round eye. So he's only got one, so it's a round eye?
It's a round, big round eye.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Do you know how they think that origin came into being, the word itself and the monster itself? They think, no one really knows, but there, when the Mediterranean was a little bit lower, there used to be elephants, like little mini elephants in Sicily.
Oh.
And the skull is, when you look at the skull of an elephant,
yeah,
there's like a big round area where the nose would come out. And they think that they thought that was the
trunk.
The trunk, yeah. They thought that was the eye.
I did not know this. I am fascinated by that.
Isn't that cool?
I really like it. I think that it's extraordinarily cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's like mermaids and manatees. I always love that stuff. When you go, really? That is very cool, Ross. I'm glad you shared that. I'm not kidding. I'm going to tell people this for about a week or two.
You can look in the encyclopedia, which is another word.
Hey!
But it's related to cycle, not the kyklops, not the cyclops.
I don't want to Hector you, Ross.
I know. This was an interesting one. I never thought of this.
So Hector shows up in the Iliad,
right?
Not the Odyssey. He's dead, right, by the time the Odyssey comes around. And
I was going to say, so is Homer. No, sorry.
Hector was the hero of the Trojans. And so we're wondering, like, to Hector somebody is to bother them a lot, to harass them, right?
Yeah.
Is this because Hector, like, just kept messing up the Greeks over and over?
No, it's actually sort of cool. Hector basically was a positive character in the Iliad. He's encouraging people to fight.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
he's a loyal guy.
A loyal guy. But there was some thought that there was a gang, there were gangs of rowdy young men in London in the 1800s and 1700s, or 1700s and 1600s, who called themselves Hectors. and they saw themselves as gallant guys, like really cool young men. But everyone else thought them as pains in the ass. So it became
really. They were like loud and intimidating. Yeah, loud, and obnoxious shut up. Guy.
I know. They're no Hectors, but the word. So poor Hector gets not only killed, his name comes about to be a nag, which is a real drag.
Okay, we're going back to the Odyssey, and then a few minutes we're just going to ancient Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Sirens.
Sure, the sirens are those creatures who sit on the rocks and sing their song that drives people crazy and crashes their boats into the rocks.
Okay, when do you think it began becoming like, meh, from an ambulance?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You want to say the 1800s still, right? But I'm not exactly sure what was going on.
You got it. Okay. 1879. Referenced apparently to steamboats, they think.
Steamboats. So why did that become a siren?
Well, I mean, the idea would be, I guess, the... it's a warning sound.
Yeah.
So, and the siren itself made sounds that you had to watch, that you basically had to be careful for. And then
became... sirens were luring, whereas a siren is warning. It's like, it's kind of a dichotomy, is it not?
I would argue a little bit against you here, Catherine. I agree with you.
You may.
But I mean, the key thing though, is the sound of the siren meant danger.
Mm-hmm.
Odysseus, you know, had himself, tied to the mast so he wouldn't do anything, but it was a danger sign. It was dangerous to hear this sound. I think that's how it became.
That's true.
And I think it's sort of makes sense.
It's saying, well, danger. Sorry. I was doing my siren imitation.
It's funny, like of all the things you could call that sound that's on your ambulance or fire truck or whatever, it's just funny to me that it turned into a siren. Like of all the things you could call it, that's what was chosen.
I agree, because a siren is enticing. It's like it's luring you. It's like you can't resist it, as opposed to warning like a klaxon.
Yeah.
Well, what I mean makes more sense.
We have great singers that were called siren singers.
That's true. Yeah.
They still are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people who really lure you into their songs. Yeah. So we have talked about this before when words have two different diametrically opposed meanings, and to some degree these do in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the weirdest thing for me was I never, until a couple of days ago, thought of the origin of the sound that we hear as siren. I never really thought about it at all. I never connected the two.
Really, if I'd just been talking to somebody about it or even just thinking about it, I would have thought that they were just somehow generally unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought so too.
Huh.
But the other weird thing is, it really sort of got me in a way, how we live in our time period to such an extent that we don't really think about things that didn't exist a long time ago.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and like it's true. Siren, like, you know, the Civil War was going on. But no one, if you said, oh, I hear a siren, no one would have any idea what you're talking about.
It's true. It's true.
Or like, what, Odyssey? What are you talking
about? He's off his head.
And that really sort of gets me how many common things. I mean, if you're trying to write a book, you know, based in, you know, whatever period, you really got to watch it in terms of automatic things that you wouldn't do.
That's why I had a problem with all the laser guns in the Odyssey film adaptation. I mean, I know it's a fantasy, but come on, guys.
See, I told you it was rotten. So we move on. Now, these are just a few other Greek words that Ross and I really like that are from, they're of Greek origin, but not from the Odyssey.
Okay.
Panic. This is one of both of us. Ross and I love this one.
Oh, wow.
Because we panic a lot, I guess.
Is that it?
Yeah, panicked. I mean, is the P-A-N all?
That's interesting. That's an interesting idea, but there's another P-A-N in ancient Greece.
Oh, interesting. Are we talking about like the I don't know, is Pan a god or is Pan like a demigod or something? Okay.
Yes.
So Pan can make you kind of wild, right?
Yeah. And Kath and I both were fascinated with this because Pan was the god of the woods and the fields. I mean, and he was the noonday panic, you'd be in the woods, hiking around somewhere in these wild woods, and then you'd hear like weird sounds or something, and you'd get panicky.
Yeah,
you'd get afraid. You'd
be like, uh oh.
And that noonday panic absolutely for some reason it really.
Both of us, we didn't know that we both had this until the other day when we were talking about this episode, because I said the thing about noon, and Ross is like, me too, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it started being used as panic as a noun in the 1700s only, as this mass terror that afflicted numerous people without visible cause. It's just like suddenly you're like. Oh,
so it was more, I mean, we hear about that sort of thing sometimes. I mean, maybe not so much these days, but we've read about that where there's like this, I mean, sorry to use the word, but mass hysteria.
Oh, like Crucible comes to mind, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
right.
The Crucible,
Where all of a sudden everybody's there's been like the dancing sickness or whatever, right? And everybody's going wild, and there's no obvious cause. So that's what panic was originally.
Originally,
in the 1700s, anyway. Yeah.
Yes.
Huh.
Because initially it came from panique, from panicon, which meant pertaining to Pan. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay.
Interesting.
But it was like this sort of weird sounds, and people would just sort of freak out. That was the whole concept of it.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I want to...
tantalized you.
But one thing before you brilliantly segue into tantalize. One thing I want to quickly say is hysteria is, you know, Fletcher said, you know, it's a dangerous word nowadays, and I agree with him. We probably shouldn't use it. But one thing to give credit to the Greeks for, hysteria was coined... by, I think, British doctors, from the Greek word for womb, you know, meaning, and then pertaining it to women. But Greeks are innocent in that one.
Yes.
We didn't have hysteria. Right. It was later.
Well, the Greeks were good.
But they're guilty of a lot of other stuff. Well, no, I think they were pretty bad with female ones, too.
Tantalize. Let's move on. Yes. I'm getting upset about it.
Yeah, this one really gets Kathy and me, because... we both feel this is worse than Sisyphus's deal. But anyway.
I mean, it's all pretty bad, isn't it? So
but Sisyphus at least almost gets to the top of the hill.
But I mean, it's kind of the same deal, isn't it? So Tantalus is in, I don't know, whichever part of the underworld, whichever part's the bad part, right? I don't remember. So I think Tantalus is always trying... he's very thirsty, and he keeps trying to drink from a pool of water. And every time he gets close, it moves away from him.
And then over it are branches with fruit. And what happens then?
Do they also move away when he tries to pick the fruit?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know the fruit. I only knew the water.
Yeah, I didn't know the fruit either. Yeah, that's interesting. I can see how it is worse than Sisyphus, in that Sisyphus at least has something to do all day, which is to push a rock.
he's busy. But also, as I said before, Sisyphus thinks he's getting to the top of the hill. So you feel like, this time I'm going to do it. No, I'm not joking, actually.
I
Whereas
sort of agree with you on that.
Is always just like... did you guys know, you might not, I just know this from reading like Sherlock Holmes and stuff, that a locked liquor cabinet is called a Tantalus?
That was interesting, Kathy.
Oh, wow.
You told me this yesterday, and I thought that was fascinating.
That is.
It's like, you have to be able to see, though. If it's closed, it displays a Tantalus, like you can look in and go, look at that bottle of absinthe, baby.
Yeah,
I would love it. I can't get to it.
Well, I would just go, if I really wanted, I'd go to the store and get some, I guess. I don't know.
No, you could not.
Here's a word, Fletcher, that we both didn't realize the origin of. It was really interesting. Lethargic.
Oh, wow. No, I've never thought about that.
Let's see if you can guess this.
No, I don't. Those parts don't mean anything to me.
Lethargic.
It still doesn't mean anything to me.
Well,
let's
go visit Tantalus in Hades.
Okay.
Does that give you a clue?
No. Leth?
Okay, there's a river.
Oh, there's a river, isn't there?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
But wait, what's the deal with that river? It's just a river in Hades?
It's the Lethe River.
Yeah.
And the waters cause oblivion or forgetfulness.
Oh, okay.
So basically you get sleepy,
yeah.
You forget everything.
Yeah. You're drinking from the Lethe. They said that the spirits, when you recently died, you drank from the river to forget your past.
Mm.
So you could enter into the afterlife.
Okay.
Which sounds really I don't like it, but I never liked the afterworld in Greek mythology, frankly.
Well, that's really interesting. Talking about Tantalus. And, you know.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, there are good parts, too, the Elysian fields and all that.
No, but they were hanging out, mainly. No.
Yeah, it seems sort of boring there. I think it's boring there, too. I agree with you, actually. Okay, the next word is really interesting. Which, when I told Kathy, think about this, she thought, got it, but you didn't have a Greek parent as a kid.
He's not going to get this one.
Okay, this is a toughie.
Okay.
Galaxy.
Oh, my gosh.
Or maybe not. My wife instantly knew it, oddly enough, from another way, which was interesting.
Yeah. Huh. I'd like to hear about
it. She said, I said, you're not going to guess where this comes from. She goes, oh, yeah, of course.
Okay,
and
so.
And then she said this.
So here, I'm so bad that I didn't realize that was from Greek, galaxy.
Okay.
So.
I didn't either, okay, Fletcher, well, and I'm
okay.
Greek,
okay,
so.
Okay. No, so tell me about this. Tell me about.
Well, there's a clue. There's a real clue. This look in the sky, and what do you call that? This is what my wife said, which I thought, wow, I never thought of it that way. But look in the sky, what do they call that when you see that wash of stars across the sky?
Like the Milky Way?
Yes.
Yeah.
You got it.
Does that.
And think of, what do you call milk sugar?
Oh, like lactose?
Oh, galactose, too.
Galactose.
You could also call it, yes. I mean, there's also another type of
galactose. I didn't know galactose. I only knew the lactose part. See, now Ross and I knew it because as kids in Greek, milk is gala, G-A-L-A, gala.
Oh, wow.
I
never thought of it either. I mean, I knew the word for milk. I knew the Milky Way, obviously. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
But that was interesting.
That's cool.
Okay, when do you think the concept of galaxy, referring to like the sun and all that, what we can see, the Milky Way, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think that when do you think that entered into our English language?
Oh, like all that stuff is the galaxy? Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Huh. Oh, man. I mean, everything so far has been like in the 1700s and 1800s. That seemed way too late, so... I don't know, the 15th century.
Well, that actually is unfair. Okay, 14th century, the concept of galaxy as the Milky Way entered.
Oh, okay.
1800s was the technical concept of what we call now our galaxy.
All right, I got you.
Which makes sense, because we didn't really know. I mean, up in the 1400s, we just thought the Earth and, you know, was circled by the sun and a bunch of stars. We didn't realize that the galaxy was like a group of stars, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have one more thing. What about figuratively when you say a galaxy of stars? We're tonight on ABC, a galaxy of stars. When do you think the concept of galaxy as like this brilliant assemblage, as I like to say, of your favorite small screen stars. When do you think that's...
Are we getting that specific? Like, do I need to say like 1960s?
No.
Okay.
No. Actually, just as a brilliant assembly of people.
Uh-huh.
Let's just put it that way.
Oh, okay.
They don't have to be on TV. They can be thought people, philosophers, poets.
Gosh. Well, I mean, this could be before galaxy referring to like the actual galaxy that we have.
Clever. Very clever.
But I mean, I don't know. Sometime, I guess, between the 1400s and the 1800s.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, though.
Yeah, divide it into two. You get 1580s.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah, cool.
Roughly the same time Hollywood began its, isn't that true?
Yeah.
And they were not on the Battle of the Network Stars. Shall we end with something chaotic, Ross?
No.
No, we shall.
Chaos. Right. Okay. Now, okay. I'm not totally sure what's... Chaos was like the universe before stuff started being out there.
You're quite smart.
Yes.
But I don't really have a concrete idea beyond that.
I'm going to ask you another question. Think of, this is sort of interesting because this goes through Greece all the way back to Proto-Indo-European, as do most things in English or in European languages. Think right now of one thing that you do that is related to chaos. You do it when you get sleepy.
Yawn?
Yes.
Really?
It comes from the Proto-Indo-European to yawn to gape, and then it goes from there into something that is wide open, vast and empty.
Wow. Isn't that cool? I actually love that one.
I do too.
This is when etymology is like a wonderful storybook. You know what I mean?
Gosh, yep. Yeah. So we kind of contain the universe inside ourselves, don't we? When we're yawning, it's the chaos. And
yeah, it comes out.
I'm scaring. Actually,
I'm going to give you one other question here. Okay, the antithesis of chaos is, oddly enough, a word related, in, at least in the ancient Greek sort of, and the ancient Roman universe idea, is related to a word related to makeup.
Oh.
As in, when you put makeup on, eyeliner, etc.
Not quite. I don't know.
Oh, it is. It is.
I know it's related, but it's kind of, I don't know.
Okay, tell me.
Cosmetics.
Oh, cosmo. Yeah,
the
cosmology.
Order of universe
cosmos.
Was, cosmos. Cosmos right. would be the ordered universe, and then the ick part, of course, is related to the ordered universe. It's order.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think makes sense for cosmetics, too. You're putting a new face on. You're ordering your
ordering
face.
Ordering your face.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Again, we contain the universe, whether it's coming out
and
of us
order,
or
whether we're yawning or putting on mascara.
Order, yeah. Yeah.
It's a rich life. It's a rich life.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.